Have your way, Lord.
And Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Jesus. Spiritual authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. Thank the Lord God, we take you from your satanic court. We curse you from the roof and command you to be bound in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the harvest of the seed sown tonight. We thank you, Lord, for 30, 60, 100-fold, even a 1,000-fold increase in blessings in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And the class said, Amen.
Amen.
At this time, Pastor Peaches, if you would do the roll call on this evening.
All righty. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Angie Amen. Harris. Anjanette Harris. Annette James.
Present.
Kibby Stevenson.
Kibby's in the house.
Tiffany Warren. Tiffany Warren.
Hallelujah.
Unmute your phone, Lord. Tiffany.
I'm here. I was on mute, guys. I apologize.
I know. All right. All right. It counted here and it counted for us up. Angie Harris.
Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Angie, unmute your phone.
Yes, she's our caboose.
Hallelujah. Thanks, the Lord. Hallelujah. The classes for today. Of course, spiritual maturity and know your Bible.
Amen.
The instructors today, Pastor Earl Byrd and Pastor Peaches. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. And guess what? We have a quiz today. Isn't that wonderful?
No.
Well, y'all need to be looking at your notes while I share. It's important for y'all to understand. When God looks at a ministry, or looks at a person, he wants to see a serious Christian.
Man.
A serious Christian is someone who wants to reflect the very image of Christ. In other words, who wants to grow spiritually, who wants to be a disciple.
Yeah.
When he looks at a ministry, he doesn't look to see how many seats in the pews or how much money is collected for tithes and offerings. He wants to see how many people are growing towards spiritual maturity.
Mm-hmm.
You can have 10,000 members. And only one going towards spiritual maturity, God will look upon that ministry as a failure. Because we all are supposed to grow. That is the modus operandi. When you look, a baby is being born. If that baby stays a baby and is 10 years old and still the size of a baby, we call that baby, we got a lot of names we call that baby, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Retarded, Down syndrome, they got all kinds of technical and medical terminology. The same thing in God's kingdom. You got to understand that God understands, when you're a babe in Christ, certain things happen. You're very selfish. That's understandable, because when a baby's born, it's all about them. I'm hungry, I cry. I'm wet, I cry. You pinch me, I cry. You leave the room, you leave me by myself, I cry. I just cry. They are babies. We understand that. But if they're 15 years old and we still changing diapers, something's wrong.
Yes.
If somebody leaves the room and they start crying, there's something wrong with that picture.
Mm-hmm.
God expects us to grow.
Yes.
If we don't grow, we are spiritually malnourished, spiritually retarded. If we are supposed to be dealing with meat and we still doing milk, something's wrong with that picture.
That's right.
If you're part of a ministry that's not focused on spiritual maturity for its members, you need to call, ask God to show me another ministry. I have failed. If you continually, you start off, you may, when you got a boo-boo, you say, ow, and say, let me go to the hospital. But somewhere along your walk in this ministry, when you get a boo-boo, when something happens, the first thing you ought to be calling out is Jesus. The first doctor you need to call on is Dr. Jesus.
Amen.
Then you call on the rest. To call on Jesus first. That's my desire. God wants a serious Christian. You know, there's some folks that go to church to be entertained. As long as you entertain them, they're all right. Mm-hmm. And they'll tell you, oh, I go to church every Sunday. I pay my tithes and offerings. Are you growing spiritually? Do you know more scripture? Do scriptures come to your mind when such situations happen? We say, well, I don't know if my situation is in the Bible. Honey, I want to let you know. There are 788,280 words in the King James Version Bible. Something's going to hit your situation. I guarantee you. But you got to study the word. Somebody go to Colossians 1, verse 28 and 29. Do that right now. And then we're gonna do our little quiz. Hallelujah. When you get there, say amen, somebody.
Book again.
Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 and 29. When you get there, someone needs to say amen, somebody.
Amen. Colossians 1.
He didn't say somebody. But anyway, that's all right. Say, you said amen.
No,
that's good enough.
Yeah, I said yes. I said amen.
No,
sorry,
I was kind of pulling your leg a little bit. Go ahead and read.
Oh. Okay. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. It says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And 29 says, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily.
I want you to understand. I long to see growth in me. And I do see growth in me as I go along this journey. But I long to see growth in you. When I'm still dealing with the same thing with you that I dealt with when you came through the door 2 years ago or 4 years ago, however long. Well, may not have been that long. I'm not doing my job. And yes, it grieves the Holy Spirit, but it also grieves me. I got a responsibility, y'all. Not to entertain you, but to help you along the way to spiritual maturity. That's why I long for God to stretch you. Hallelujah. That being said, Sister Tiffany, there are five levels of knowledge. By the way, this is an open book test. What does that mean? You can look at your syllabus. You can look at your notes. You can look at the Word of God. wherever you think the answer to the question that I'm asking will be found easy and quickly. Sister Tiffany,
yes.
What are the five levels of knowledge?
Five levels of knowledge. The five levels of knowledge are learned knowledge, revealed knowledge, activity knowledge, modeling knowledge, teaching knowledge.
Hallelujah. I said that on purpose. Thank you so much. Oh, shit,
thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Now, when we look at learned knowledge and we look at the Bible, there are four, I guess you call them attributes or things that we look at. And the initials of them are O, I, A, and A. That's a little hint. LBT, can you tell us those, what those initials stand for? O?
Yes, sir.
A and A.
These are four steps of the Bible. He said Sister QB.
Yes.
Uh-huh. O-I-A-A. The four steps of Bible study. The O is for observation. The I is for interpretation. The A is for application. And the other A is for action. O-I-A-A.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. We got a great class. I tell you. You see, we got a learned knowledge. See,
yo,
you know, even a natural man can read the Bible. Even a carnal Christian can read the Bible. But when we talk about interpretation and application, that's when that's over into revealed knowledge.
Yes.
How the interpretation and application, how does it refer to you? The context as it relates to you. You know, we can look at the news, and national news is okay. We have it. But the local is what we were concerned about. How does it relate to you? Hallelujah. And then action is action. Once you dealt with learned knowledge and the revealed knowledge, then you put that into action. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And action includes what you do, doing the thing, and being a mentee, following somebody who's doing the thing, the right thing, of course.
Yeah.
It's all right to copy a cat as long as you copy the right cat.
Amen.
Right. And after you do all of that, then you're ready to be the mentor. And you can tell them, follow me as I follow Christ. The teaching knowledge. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Mr. AJ.
Yes.
Deacon AJ. Is Deacon
yes.
AJ there?
Yes, I'm here.
I think Sister AJ ran out the door, but Deacon AJ is still here. Is that right?
I'm downstairs. I'm out the door.
Oh, trying to catch up with Sister AJ. Okay. By the way, Sister AJ's name is actually Annette James. I suggest y'all remember that. You may
see angel.
That.
Yeah.
Anyway, question. The seven pillars of wisdom.
I knew you was going to say that.
Not only is she thinking, but she has a prophetic anointing. Isn't that something?
Praise the Lord.
I already knew you was going to say
Lord.
That.
Yes, go ahead.
The seven pillars of wisdom are have a coachable, teachable spirit, have a burning desire to be excellent and please God, have a willingness to work and go the extra mile. Have a heart of integrity and honesty. Have a loving heart. Have a forgiving heart. Have a giving heart.
Hallelujah! I mean, y'all are on the hizzle. I tell you, oh, you know, that's how far I go back. I'm sorry. All right, the quiz is over.
Praise the Lord.
Jesus, Lord.
give him another one.
Pastor Peaches, could you mark down an A for all the students, please?
That's enough. These are called pop quizzes, and I don't like those.
Oh, well, I think that's all you're going to get. You might have a pop test next week. And another subject.
Oh, no.
I mean, remember this, y'all. This is the sixth Tuesday. We only got three Tuesdays to go.
You said we're going to have, let us know we're going to have something. Why we got to have pop?
Oh, okay. Pop. I'm letting you know now. I apologize. Excuse my dust. Excuse my dust. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
We was ready.
I know y'all's on the ball. I tell you, see, all of these quizzes, all of the tests, they're open book tests or open paper tests because their syllabus is not a book, but it's still available. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right, where did we leave off our reading last?
We left off with that very interesting word. HERMINEUTICS. I think AJ or Pastor Peter said it best.
Okay, what's that word again?
Hermeneutics.
Okay. The bottom of 45. Yes, the Bible 45.
Hermeneutics. Oh, y'all will be getting some words like that. Y'all will be seeing so y'all can know these words. Because you may see it again. Hermeneutics.
Yes, sir.
Hermeneutics. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God.
It's wonderful.
Hallelujah. All right, so we stopped off there. Let's see. Okay.
Hallelujah.
We can start at the end. Sister Tiffany, can you read the next paragraph?
I'm confused, Pastor. You want her to start with hermeneutics or you want to start with the next paragraph?
Oh, wait a minute. Did we end with that or begin with that?
That's where we begin.
Oh, that's where we begin? Okay.
Yes.
No.
Pastor Peaches, where did we stop last time?
We started at hermeneutics. At 45.
Okay, that's where we're supposed to start?
We don't have a book.
But there's another paragraph.
Okay. So we start at 45. Hermeneutics. Go ahead and read.
Is this the one for spiritual maturity?
The big tree on the front.
Okay, with the green. I got it now. I got the right book.
Praise the Lord.
45. Now I see step one, observation. Step two, interpretation. Where are we?
At the bottom where it says hermeneutics, under interpretation.
Got it. Hermeneutics is the science of determining the correct rules to follow when interpreting the Bible. Examine how...
Stop right there. Can you read that again? Y'all need to highlight that. What is hermeneutics?
Hermeneutics is the science of determining the correct rules to follow when interpreting the Bible.
Y'all got that? Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
All right. I need to highlight that. Okay, continue right there. Thank you.
Sure. Examine how the people use language to communicate ideas. The main idea of most passages is clear from the simple reading of the text. Others require careful thought to get to the author's point. That's 2 Peter 3:16. Mm-hmm. It is easy to twist scriptures to make it support our own biases.
Uh-huh.
Most cults are based on misinterpreted biblical passages. Carefully study using correct rules to avoid destroying God's word. I have to read that sentence again. Carefully study using correct rules to avoid destroying God's word. That's 2 Corinthians 4:10. How'd you believe in my y'all?
I don't know.
What did he do?
Hey, girl.
Why did he touch the scissors? One moment. You don't touch nothing.
The Bible was originally written in foreign languages to people living a long time ago in another part of the world with a different culture. A study process for God's word is more necessary now than it was for the original recipients in biblical times. The following rules of hermeneutics helps us overcome barriers to understand. End of paragraph.
Okay, two things real quick. Some of the words that were used in the King James Version Bible have come down today, that's hundreds of years ago, of course, have come down to mean almost the complete opposite. I'll give you an example. The word suffer, when it talks about suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. It's not talking about, like you're suffering something. It's to let them go. That's what that means. Don't stop them. Let them come through. But now when you talk about suffering, oh, something bad. Oh, man, something dropped on you. Oh, yeah, they're suffering. They're in pain. They're in distress. Almost, it's a different meaning. And a lot of the words in the Word of God, not a lot, but many that you may come up to may mean the complete opposite of what it means today. That's why contextual understanding is important. That's why the age that you have, Strong's Concordance, or to see something in another version may assist you in fully getting the revelation of what is being said.
Uh-huh.
So someone just looking at that on the surface may say, suffer, what does that mean? People gotta go through pain to let the children come through? No, it just means don't hold them up. You know, don't stop them. Just move aside.
Mm-hmm.
And allow them to come forward to me. Because you've got to be like a little child if you want to be part of my kingdom. So that's just an example. Any questions or any comments about what was started to be read by Sister Tiffany and Elder QB? Deacon AJ, you have a question or any comment about what was read?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm back.
Pastor, I just want to say real quickly how Satan is so conniving to do anything he can to trip you up, to keep you from understanding the exact word of God.
That's right. That's right. So he can't mess with the word of God. So what he'll do, he'll work on the language of your through the ages and change the meanings. There's some other words. I used to know a bunch of the words that actually had the exact opposite meaning than it did when it was first written. And the memory of the just is blessed. So it'll come to me sooner or later. Pastor Peaches, I can't hear you. Pastor Peaches, still can't hear you.
Chapter.
No, can't hear you now. I hear you from the other room, but nobody hears you online. I pick up the house phone.
All right.
Okay, I just
heard. Don't hang up the cell.
Don't hang you up. No, don't hang up. You're just going to have two phones there. You talk to one phone. Don't put that the house phone on speaker.
I was saying that it's good that you mentioned the tools that we have, or the students, because there are some words, just like the word power. It has one. You can look it up in the Greek and the Hebrew, the Old and the New Testament. And you'll see different meanings.
Right.
So that's why it's good to run reference. Some Bibles will give you reference scriptures. And then it's also good to look up the words in the Greek and the Hebrew to see what exactly that word means in that scripture. And it's also what I think Tiffany read also. That's how a lot of doctrines are started, a lot of churches are started on scriptures, and they have the scriptures all screwed up. I mean, it didn't mean that. It didn't mean something, but they took it and they ran with it, and they started a church after a scripture and started a whole and put it in and make it a doctrine. Yes.
I give you a perfect example of that. That's a great Pastor Peaches. Perfect example. Women shouldn't speak in the church.
Right.
They got that all messed up because they did not really study. They did not really rightfully divide the word of truth. So there are a lot of churches that you can't be an elder if you're a female.
Right, exactly.
You can't even speak. You can't even give a sermon at some churches. And some people, that a woman start speaking in the church and they walk out.
Mm-hmm.
Silly.
And even women pastors are not looked at. Right.
That's the point. The word of God is what you... But because they misinterpreted, that they didn't do their due diligence. That's the word we use in business. Due diligence. Two words. D-U. Space. Diligence. In other words, we didn't study it. We just looked at it on the surface. We didn't go behind the scenes and see what it was talking about. Was it talking about a situation, one person, all the people, or was it talking about a single situation? But anyway, okay, praise God.
The Lord.
Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Okay, the next paragraph. Let's see.
That was the end of that paragraph.
End of that paragraph. 46. Tiffany, come back.
Tiffany,
yes, I'm here.
All right. Since you gave up that, you have to read the next paragraph.
Okay.
Consequently, I'm only messing with you. But go ahead, if you would, read the next paragraph as well.
The next paragraph is that reading for the main idea of the paragraph. Are we there?
Yes, that's it. Uh-huh.
Okay.
All right. Bible reading should seek to discover the main point of each paragraph. Paragraphs, not verses, are the force of good reading. Each paragraph consists of several sentences on the same subject. The main idea of the paragraph is the central theme that holds the verses together. Having identified this main idea, the reader is able to determine how each sentence helps the author make his point. Stating the main idea of the paragraph is concise sentence may be hard at first, but it gets easy with practice.
Right, right.
End of paragraph.
Amen.
Several clues. The Word of God gives you several clues that this is part of a larger context.
Yes.
Your verse starts with therefore. You got to look and figure out why it's therefore. So you got to go back. Or you see something saying, but. But indicates something went before it. And so you got to go and deal with that. Oftentimes you will see in the Word of God where, say, for instance, I'm just giving an example, Hebrews 11, the last verse in that, you go to Hebrews 12 and first verse, it kind of picks up where that verse ended. Sometimes that will happen. Don't be surprised at that. Or in the centuries, when they first put chapters in there, they ain't put no verses. Then in the 15th century, the Geneva Bible came about in the 16th century. And they're the ones that put the verses in there. And for the longest time, the Geneva Bible was the preeminent Bible that was in Christendom. And the Geneva Bible was done in Swedish or in German. In fact, the first Bible that was brought to the United States was the Geneva Bible that had been translated into English. The folk that came on the Puritans, they had the Geneva Bible. But the idea is that you will find that out. Don't be surprised if the end of one chapter is carried over, that same thought is carried over to the next chapter in the first few verses. But a key for you to really, you check it out is like words like therefore, and as a result of, or something like that, or but. It indicates that you got to go a little bit further up, start a little bit further up. Any questions or comments about Elder Kibbe, what was read? Question or comment?
Well, that's what Tiffany had read. But I did want to say that sentences support what the paragraph is talking about.
Yes.
That's why you can't take one sentence out of context, because you won't understand what the whole paragraph is about.
That's true.
Amen. That's right.
And you have to read the whole paragraph to understand what's being said. Because one sentence, two sentences, and then five or six sentences, it could take you to a week if you don't read the whole thing.
Can't
hear you.
breaking up. You're breaking up.
The devil is a liar.
Yes, and try the house phone again.
And so this is what a lot of people have done to the scriptures.
Uh-huh.
They'll take one scripture out and use that one scripture for something.
Yes.
When you can't just take out one scripture, you need to read what's above it and what's below it.
That's right.
Amen.
As we talked about earlier, you got to be deal with the context. What was going on at this time?
Right.
You know, were they in captivity? Were they in Babylon? They weren't in Israel or Judah. Where were they? What was going on? Who was in control? Who was the king? You have to deal with the context so that the revelation, the interpretation, the application shall be concise and actual, what do you call, authentic. Hallelujah. Well, we thank God for today's class. And we thank God for y'all. Y'all did wonderful. Everybody got an A. Yay, hey.
Lord.
I would recommend strongly that
they on the ball.
All your missing students, because I think Sister Angie has missed the last three classes. So we need to be concerned about folk missing classes, because we want her to grow spiritually. We don't want any spiritual retardation going on. We don't want any people who are spiritually malnourished.
Amen.
We don't want to be feeding milk when we're trying to feed somebody some meat. We want them to be with us as we make this journey towards spiritual maturity.
Right. We want no spiritual meat.
That's right. We want giants.
Amen.
In the kingdom of the Most High God. We want the giants in the land. We want them to be us. Go ahead, thank God. Giants of the word. I like that, Pastor Peter. Thank you so much.
Be flame, not a flicker.
All right.
That's right.
Okay, any questions? Q&A. I'm 2 minutes over right now. Any questions or comments?
So the four steps of Bibles, the four steps of Bible study is what it is. Is that what it is when we're saying observation, interpretation, application, and action? What are those?
Yes.
They are the four steps of Bible study?
Yes.
That's like the attitude that you approach Bible study.
Got it. Okay.
You know, and that's really a fifth one. First of all, you got to get tuned in with the Holy Spirit. That's why I share with people, hallelujah. You know, your prayer language is good. You want to start a Bible study? It's not how long you use your prayer language. It's that you use it at all. And then you get into your prayer, your Bible study. Or you may want to say something to the Lord out loud in your own in the understood language, whatever,
mm-hmm.
and get into the Bible study, because you want to get the. See, you don't want to waste no time. You want to, when you get into Bible study, you want to make sure you get something out of it. You go to school, you want to get something out of it. Is that right?
Amen.
You go to the market, you want to take something home with you. Is that right?
Right.
That's right.
I have never seen anybody go to the market and go window shopping.
Never.
So you go to study the Bible, we're not going window shopping. We're going to take some home with us in our hearts. That's home. Our hearts, our minds, our spirit. Hallelujah.
So are we adding that to it? So it's five now?
No. I just threw that up there. But we know we ought to pray before we go to Bible study. So we can make sure we're on the same page as the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
But it's four. Four, the prerequisite for jumping into Bible study. But really, okay. I'm going to tell you, they go along with the five levels of knowledge, because I can
exactly.
see,
amen.
I can
amen.
See observation and learned knowledge. I can see interpretation,
uh-huh.
application, and revealed knowledge. And, of course, I can see action in the activity knowledge, you know, doing the thing. So that's part
right.
of the qualities of the five levels of knowledge. So we can kind of say that these are qualities of the five levels of knowledge.
So they overlap.
Uh-huh. Interpretation,
right.
application, and action.
Amen.
Sometimes it jumps at me, but I ain't going to do it. And I ain't going to mess y'all up. But those are some of the qualities.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hallelujah. But see, when you do that, you actually proactive. When you go to your Bible study, when you approach Bible study like that, you're proactive. You're ready to receive from the Lord. It's like you done brought your buckets and your pails and your totes and everything ready to receive from the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you so much. Any other questions before we close? I think we have 4 minutes into our break time.
Mm.
No more questions. Sister Tiffany, how's baby girl?
She's good. She has the Band-Aid on. She's fine.
All right.
You know, the healing and the Band-Aid.
All right. Yeah, healing and a Band-Aid. I want a Band-Aid. I say that a lot when a certain person scratches my back. I ask her, can she give me a Band-Aid?
Too much information, Pastor.
Too much information? Okay.
Too much information.
Oh, okay. Too much information. Oh, that's TMI. All right. I'm not going to mention my wife's name.
He asked me to scratch it. And sometimes I just have regular fingernails.
Oh, your fingernails are never raggy, honey.
Well, you have to go get a manicure, though.
Hallelujah.
I know.
But I know she never brings me a Band-Aid, though. But anyway, that's enough. Hallelujah. God bless you. Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, hallelujah, for what you shared with us. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for understanding. We thank you, Lord, for the revelation, wisdom, and knowledge bursting forth in our hearts. We praise your name in Jesus' name. Amen. And the next class is going to be Know Your Bible, and that's coming in oh, my goodness. That's coming in 2 minutes. You got a two-minute break. So y'all need to run now and get that glass of tea.
They still need 5 minutes, because what they need to do may take more than 2 minutes.
Oh, okay. Well, hallelujah. TMI. Anyway, getting that chicken sandwich or whatever. Lord, God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Power on. Bluetooth pairing.
Hallelujah.
Bluetooth connected.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, holy and anointed one, Jesus.
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 Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Pastor Peaches?
Yes?
Class is yours. But may I make an announcement real quick before your class begins? Could it please only take 30 seconds?
Yes.
We had certificates available for the second semester students, and we had that available this past Sunday because I promised it to you. And we forgot to mention that they were available, but we did so much.
We forgot them.
Yes.
Apologize.
No, that's all right. I wasn't going to say that. But it's okay. We're going to definitely do it this week because, number one, the Potter's House Challenge won't be around until April. First and second Sundays in April, and it's going to be 15 minutes before service starts.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have more time to do to the things that we have promised we would do, because one of the pillars of wisdom is to have a heart of integrity and honesty, and we want to do that. Thank you, Pastor Peaches.
You're welcome, Pastor.
Yours.
Did Angie join us? And let me know if my voice breaks up, Pastor.
Okay, it's okay right now.
All right, thank you. Good evening, everybody. This class is entitled Know Your Bible, and we also will be having a quiz tonight. But we're gonna go over some things first.
Excuse me for laughing.
And it's an open, the tests are open book tests, so I don't know what the fright is because y'all have the answers right in front of you.
Oh, man.
Y'all have the answers in front of you. Y'all are more wiser in the Word and in the Bible tonight than you were a year ago. And I think sometime our confidence has had to be boosted up. That's all. All righty. Yeah, we all have the book, Know Your Bible. And like call names and ask somebody or just want y'all to jump in there. I tell you what, I'll give you 2 seconds to jump in there. And so if you do, then I won't call on you. I want somebody to give me the 5 divisions of the Old Testament. 1.
Okay, I have it.
All right.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Deacon AJ.
Yes.
Okay, 5 divisions of the Old Testament is the law, history,
okay,
poetry,
mm-hmm,
major prophecy, and minor prophecy.
Prophets.
Sorry. I said minor prophet. I said that one, right?
You said major and minor. Okay, and there's a minor.
Major and minor.
Very good. Okay.
Okay, wait a minute. Can you repeat those again? Law.
Okay, AJ, can you repeat them, please? AJ.
Law.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. History. Poetry. Major prophet. And minor prophet. Somebody breaking up. Is that me?
I don't know. These phones tonight. In the name of Jesus.
How are you?
Was that law, history, poetry? Major
poetry. Or wisdom. Yes.
Which one is it? What's after history and before and in between major? What's that word?
Maybe major prophets or minor prophets?
Right before major.
Poetry.
Okay.
Or poetry or wisdom.
Or wisdom?
Yes, it could be wisdom. Or poetry.
Okay. So law, history, poetry, or wisdom, major or minor, correct?
No,
major prophets and minor prophets.
major prophets and minor prophets.
Okay. Can I just jump in there? It's just a major prophet. Then
major
prophet. Minor prophet.
Okay.
Yeah. You got to keep
that. Yeah, she told you that's the ones that she told you to in your book where she told you to underline or to separate it in your book.
I got it separated in the book a certain type of way, because she asked you a question, and that question I need to be able to make sure that I understand what the question is next time.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
All right.
All right. That's why I wrote it down like that. Thank you so much.
All right.
You're welcome.
All righty.
That's my one question.
Yes, have a question, AJ?
Excuse me?
Did you have a question?
Are we doing one question?
Pardon me?
We just doing one question?
We haven't gotten the quiz yet.
Oh, I thought that was the quiz. Okay.
No, I asked the question.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's not the quiz? Oh, man. Okay. I thought that was my quiz question.
Oh, no, I gave you something hard, girl. You're a veteran at this. Oh, my God.
Oh,
man.
The quiz question.
Oh, mercy. Okay.
Okay.
All right. We're going to start the quiz, y'all. All right. Elder Kibbe. Name one of the books in the Torah or the law and tell me something specific about it. You can pick any book you want. I'm lost. Is Elder Kibbe still here?
She might be on mute.
I'm sorry. I was on mute. I'm sorry. I guess I love Genesis because it's the beginning of everything. It sets everything in motion. How the world even came about, the love of God. I look at the relationship between the Father and the Son, how they just came together, and the power of just the Word speaking things into existence was awesome. It lets me know how powerful my words are, because if God did it, I can do it too.
Okay, on that you said it tells the relationship between the Father and the Son?
Because of the Father and the Son. Well, I guess because God was the one who spoke everything into existence.
Okay, so are you speaking of Jesus in Genesis?
No, that was a sidebar. Sorry, I'll leave that out.
I
like.
Oh no,
Genesis.
I was going to ask you where in Genesis were you referring to
Jesus.
As Jesus in Genesis?
No. I was just saying relationship wise.
Oh, okay.
All right. I won't get it confused.
All righty. Deacon AJ, I want you to pick one of the books in the books of history and tell me something significant about them, or even if you know a story from one of the books of history, and tell me about it. Something significant about a book, one of the books in the books of history.
The
old or
the new
in one of the books of history.
The old or new?
The old Testament.
Okay. Let's see. I'll take I am doing Ruth.
Okay.
I think it's in there. Let me see.
Thank you, Jesus.
You can actually turn to it and read from it.
That's what I'm looking at. It says, whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. It just says 1:16 though. I'm looking for one, and that's Ruth 1:16.
All right. Thank you very much. Do you know who Ruth's mother-in-law was?
Excuse me?
Do you know who her mother-in-law was?
You're double.
Say that again.
You said, do I know who what?
Who her mother-in-law was.
You're echoing, First Lady. She can't, it's double. You can't hardly hear you.
Naomi.
All right, very good. Thank you. Okay. Tiffany?
Is that my task, my quiz
answer? Yes, I said we started the quiz.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Oh, my God. I don't know what y'all pray for. Y'all know more than what y'all think y'all know.
That's true. I think we overthink it sometimes.
Yes. Tiffany?
Yes?
I want you to name me the book of wisdom. Please.
The books of wisdom?
Yes.
The books of wisdom is Job, Psalms, Proverbs. I'm not going to get my baby for this.
Ecclesiastes.
Lord, thank you. And a 5-year-old is going to help me with that. Ecclesiastes and the Song of Solomon.
Very good. Can anybody tell me another name for the Song of Solomon?
Another name for Song of Solomon.
The Song of Songs.
Very good. You hear some people say the Song of Songs.
Right.
Instead of the Song of Solomon. Very good, y'all. Very good. Now,
did I hear that question again?
Can you do the what? What is another name for the book, the Song of Solomon? And in some Bibles, you'll actually see the Song of Songs.
Oh, okay.
Song of Songs.
Yes. Can anybody tell me anything about the Song of Solomon? Anybody know what color he was?
The Song of Solomon?
Yes.
Yeah. What color was he?
Mm-hmm.
Did you say that? Boy, that was black. I mean, excuse me.
I am black but comely.
Yeah, very handsome.
Yes,
I know
gorgeous.
He was a lover.
Gorgeous.
Well, he was a lover.
Yes. Hunks and muscles all over the place.
That sounds like a fish and bird.
That's the one God will send me.
TMI.
Oh my gosh, y'all did excellent. I actually wrote out some questions, and I want whoever knows this these answers, I want you to give them. Okay. God told the Israelites to celebrate the Passover with a special meal, and the Jewish people today still do this. What was special about the bread?
Unleavened.
What does that mean?
It didn't have all the other ingredients because they had to make the bread real fast so they could run. So they basically just put it together and heated it and ate it.
Okay, so what would the bread look like?
What was the question?
It was rough. You know,
the question was, God told the Israelites to celebrate the Passover with a special meal. And the Jewish people today still do this. What was special about the bread? When somebody makes bread today, what do they put in the bread today that they were not supposed to put in the bread then?
Excuse me, Pastor Peaches. You're double. You sound
echoing.
But you're, when you, you sound when you're talking, it's coming out like two people.
Pastor Peaches, I know what's happening.
What?
Is there any way, because you have the conference call on your cell phone as well as the house phone.
Okay, wait. I'm going to hang up.
Hang up. Just press one time to see if that will hang up the on the cell phone.
Okay,
and if it hangs up, Deacon AJ, call her back, but hopefully it won't.
Okay, wait a minute. I'm going to try
something. Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
Now, do I need to repeat the question?
Yes.
The Passover meal was a, God told the Israelites to celebrate the Passover with a special meal.
Okay.
And the Jewish people today still do this.
Okay.
What was special about the bread? What is, when you see, watch somebody make rolls today, there's a certain thing they put in it today, but there's a certain ingredient that goes in it. But for the Passover meal, they were not supposed to use this one item. What was that
yeast.
Item? Yes. Thank you. Yeast. Yes. They were not, and that's why they, and today the bread is called matzah.
No yeast.
Yes, exactly.
It's flat. And believe you me, they ain't got no taste to it. Ain't no taste to it. You want to put some peanut butter on it.
It's called matzo. How do you spell that?
How do you spell that?
M-I-Z-I-A.
M-M-M-A.
Yeah. M-A-Z.
M-A-T-Z-A-H, I think. Matzo. I got some downstairs.
M-A-T-A-H.
Yes, matzah. Okay. And it looks just like a, it's a flat. Do any of y'all remember when you needed biscuits were out?
Uh-uh.
Okay. Well, it's a,
It rises, right?
Okay.
It's just a piece.
If you were to make some flat bread and cook it in a frying pan and press it down with your fingers, and then after it toasts on one side, you flip it over, and you toast it on the other side. It'll get some little bumps in it and all, but it's flat bread. My husband has made it before, but the way he made it had some taste. Matzah to me is bland, and if you give it to a bird, the bird probably choke off it.
I don't know that.
I'm serious. Okay, I have another question. The book of Leviticus gives a list of several blessings for obedience, but it also gives a list of what?
Curses. Okay, book of Leviticus.
The book of Leviticus.
Gave you blessings and curses, right?
Exactly. Yes. Wherever you see God giving or the scriptures giving a book of blessings, believe you me, it's going to give a book, it's going to give a long, maybe even a longer list of curses.
Against blessings
and curses. The book of Leviticus.
Blessings and cursing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Pastor Peters, may I interject something real quick?
Yes, Pastor.
Oh, two things. Matzah is spelled M-A-Z-Z-A. Matzah. That's the bread. M-A-Z-Z-A.
This is blessing.
Okay. M-A-Z is a zebra, Z is a zebra, A is an apple. Okay.
Right. And also, I wanted to piggyback on one more thing. I think if you imagine, you know what saltine crackers look like, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Can you imagine one that's the size of a pizza? That's what matzah looks like, but it's very bland.
And it
like
doesn't
you
have
said,
sauce on it.
It's brown on one side, brown on the other. But it looks like it dried up like a cracker. It looks like that. To me, anyway. That's about the cook, because these young folks don't know about no flipping no bread and no fried bread.
I know. But I think if I was a bird and taste it, I think I would be running for a river or something. Because it's dry. And whenever, even the church that Earl and I came up in, when they served communion, it was broken up crackers.
Yeah,
crumbled up crackers. And, you know, when you eat something like even as a child, if you're always having your peanut butter on crackers, when you have communion, you think that, oh, gee, I need some peanut butter for this.
Yeah.
You know, you've been wanting some peanut butter.
That's interesting.
Because it was so dry. But it had meaning. It had meaning. Yeah.
And up here where I live. Mm-hmm. Up here where I live, they give out matzah crackers, and when I get a box of it, that's what I do. I put peanut butter on it.
Should I tell you? Ain't too much more you can do with it.
That's right. You can't. You want to break it up and put it in some grand cake.
Dip it in soup.
I'm serious. It's something. And to me, some of the things that the Jewish people eat, you have to have an acquired. It would have to grow on you. It would have to grow on you. When my Jewish sister and I get together, and because I have a Jewish sister, and when we call each other sisters, she's been my probably for the last 35 years. And when I've gone to a Seder meal, and that's when right at Passover, and there are different items on a plate, and they share the piece of lamb, and they share some bitter herb, and they share and every piece of food has a meaning. Something else. Kefilte fish is not part of the Seder meal, but she when it's something that she wants to introduce to me, and when it comes to kefilte fish, I point to my skin like what color this is? I don't know. She said, "Oh, just try it. It tastes good." And said, but some things, it's like you said, it's an acquired taste. But when it comes to the Seder meal, when it comes to the Passover meal, everything had a meaning. Everything had a meaning. And before the Israelites left their land, they ate. And when they left, everybody was healed and well, and that meal was to last them. No one left out on crutches or in wheelchairs or anything. And this is where the picture on television, the Ten Commandments, conflict, because they showed you people being carried on stretchers and wheelchairs.
They sure did.
Mm-mm. They were talking about the meal that heals That was we know our communion as the meal that heals. But that Passover meal, everybody left walking.
Yes.
Everybody left walking. And plus, before they left, they were allowed to take the jewels and gold and everything.
Yes.
When they left, believe you me, Pharaoh was ready for them to leave.
Uh-huh.
He was ready for them to leave. And he was like, just take it. He gave up the gold. He gave up the gold and all of these gifts and stuff.
He paid it to leave.
oh my gosh. And they call it
awesome.
Scripture, in the scripture, I don't know in the scripture, but they call it the booty. So it was everything that they was able to take and was given, it was called the booty.
Uh-huh.
The gold, yes. And the earrings, and that's why I don't understand why a lot of churches and no church doctrine, they don't want the women to wear the earrings and but they had the bangle bracelets, the
yep.
stuff on their ankles and on the ankles and the arms and the earrings,
big toe rings,
and all of this stuff. That was prosperity.
Yes, it was.
Getting out of slavery. And that is just so much. But that's why it's good for us to know the scripture for when we get ready to watch the Ten Commandments on TV or any biblical picture. Even
pause on.
King. I haven't been able to watch the whole thing
yes.
yet. But it's good for you to know the scripture so you're able
yes.
to line
yes.
up
yes.
what
yes.
you see in the scripture and on TV with the word. You don't know, because if you don't, that's just as bad as taking a scripture out of context.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're on time with it, and you think what you see on TV is the gospel.
It's the truth, but it's not.
The people, and a lot of times the people that made up the things on TV were not saying filled with the Holy Ghost.
They weren't Christians themselves, right?
And they
didn't know.
Came up with a movie, and a lot of times they're going to make that movie so that you will watch it, so it'll captivate
mm-hmm.
you.
It'll sell. Mm-hmm.
Right. And just like
one of the pictures with
Charlton Heston on it, I was told one of the pictures when he held his arm up, you could see a watch on his arm.
What? Get out of here. They forgot the watch.
We know there wasn't no watches back then. Okay. So they, and we,
I never noticed
it's
that.
Damn,
it's good to know the word of God. So when you see biblical pictures on TV, you'll be able to know. You'll be able to, especially, and if you're sitting with someone that's not saved, because they're going to believe, they're going to take that picture as gospel.
Mm-hmm.
They may even say something. See that? That's why. No. That's why. You'll be able to tell them, hey, that's not the word. That's not in the scripture. That's something that whoever wrote that picture put it together. To captivate you, so to hold your attention, and so that you would
exactly.
Watch the whole movie or something.
Oh
like
my God! They put a watch on. Wow.
Yeah.
First lady,
also,
could I add one more thing?
Yeah.
Can I add one more thing? Not only that meal that healed, it carried them through, but also the
yes.
clothing, the shoes and
uh-huh.
clothing did not wear out for 40 years. Can you imagine when they didn't have any other clothes than what they had on their back, and it did not wear out the whole 40 years they were in the desert?
No,
that was a miracle. Well, no Walmart or Macy's, I tell you.
Yeah. So they're wearing the same shoes that they wore out and they came out, and they were 3 years old when they were 33, and then when they turned 40 years old, 30, I mean, they still had, and their feet grew.
Yes,
God allowed their clothes and their shoes to grow along with them.
Go with them. That's right.
Yes.
You know, that was a miracle.
For real. And who did not
or they went to a swap meet?
That's the stop.
Ain't that much swapping in the world? Oh my goodness. Who missed
yeah,
out on the promised land, and tell me why?
Moses missed out on the promised land because he struck the rock when he wasn't supposed to.
He was supposed to speak to it. And even though he was one of God's favorite folk, God let him, took him up on a high mountain, let him look over into the promised land, but he would not let him go over, and he buried him up on that mountain.
And because of his disobedience.
Yes. As much as he went before God and pleaded for those Israelites, at first I said, Lord, but you know, he loved those people. But they, but he had a problem with anger. And he was on the back side of the mountain for 40 years. And that was supposed to help work that anger out. But it, it, you see how it is? It rose back up. That's why we have to continuously pray and repent, because we still have things that lay dormant in our spirits, you know? We got to watch as well as pray, because Satan, he'll trip you up every time.
Yes, and constantly put the different things before we come to the Lord. I'm glad you said that, because when someone has, let's say a person has a problem with anger, a problem with lust, a person that may have a problem with fear, a problem with, let's say, procrastination.
Stealing.
Say that again.
Stealing. Lying.
You said, yes. When that person
stealing
gets saved.
Uh-huh,
when that person gets, lying, cheating, stealing, all of it, take you to hell.
All of these things,
you should constantly put those things before the Lord.
Because
you're letting God know, Lord, I know where you brought me from. I want you to keep putting those things on the altar. Keep putting those things, Lord, don't allow me to be overtaken with this. And Lord God, and you also have patience with other people that you see has problems
you
like
really
that.
Do.
And you're able to let them know, hey,
Amen.
God saved me
Amen.
From this. God
yes.
can save you from this.
Yes.
Give it to the Lord. Just like somebody I believe that was saved from homosexuality. And a lot of times that's what the enemy will constantly put before you what you were saved from. And that's why it is good to testify.
We overcome
by the words of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. Because I believe that when you testify about a thing, the enemy can't hold it over your head anymore.
That's right.
So
that's
what?
Right.
You was a slut. Hey, I hope you was a good one. Now you in church. Ask God, Lord, I thank you for saving me. And I always say, well, you need to. I used to tell Rita Smith from the church we used to go to.
I remember her.
You need to be careful what you say, or be careful what you let the people know where God done brought you from, because sometimes people hold it against you or hold it over your head.
That's right.
Be led say and around who. And what if the Lord gives you a platform where you're able to share where he saved you from or where he brought you from, give it. It's God's will for the people, because someone there at that time needs to hear it.
But sometimes if
you have a whole lot of married women in church and only a few single and you one of the single ones, and the women that's married, when they find out that you was the loosey goosey, when it comes time to fellowship and go around and shake hands and give a holy kiss and bump hands and fist bump, they gonna go around with their husband then.
Right.
Because they don't touch you, because they knew, because you let them know that God saved you from being a loose one. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness, I got to keep my eye on her name. You didn't feel like that before you found out she was a slut.
But
that's what God saved us from. And we look at others in certain lights because we didn't tell anybody what God saved us from. Okay.
Yeah.
And you might have been the one that was collecting money from the hoes after they done ran out there on the corner. But you ain't telling nobody that. Nobody know with them bones and skeletons in your closet. That's why you looking at everybody else caca. And like you brother or sister perfect. But nobody has any reason to look at anybody caca-eyed or with judgment because Jesus saved all of us from
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
saved
Jesus.
Saved us all from something. And if he didn't save us from it, I guarantee it's something that would have taken us to hell.
Yes.
So, therefore, nobody got a right to look at anybody,
no,
be judgmental or anything. Because the same Jesus saved you, the same Jesus
Thank
saved
you,
me.
Jesus.
Amen.
First Lady, First Lady, if I can piggyback on what you're saying, you know, Donnie McClurkin, he was homosexual. He had a lot of homosexual affairs and things like that. I didn't know it until he told his testimony. And he said he would still have times that he had to fight that feeling that rose up. And I talked to him because everybody loves Donnie McClurkin. But he did. But he said just like that, he has to keep fighting it and holding it forward.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
What has been committed unto him.
Yes, he's able to see what has
been committed unto him. And that's why I said we have to constantly put those things that Jesus saved us from, put it before the Lord. Because the enemy knows, and the enemy will try and tempt you, trying to make you say, oh, he ain't saved you from nothing.
No, you steal this.
No.
Yes. Grace and mercy. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Grace and mercy.
One of the other books of the Bible, Numbers.
Uh-huh.
Let me ask y'all this question. And anybody know the answer? What do we do today that started in the back in the book of Numbers? And that title itself should tell you. What do we do today that when it comes to and has to do with numbers that started all the way back there? I think it's every 10 years.
Census.
Yes. The census.
Because David counted people. He counted something and got in trouble with God.
The census. And it's good when y'all, when you know, sometimes during the day, or in the evening, you know what, sometimes even take the book to the bathroom with you. You know, you ain't going to get up and run there, not if you're going there to sit for a little while. Take the book, know your Bible with you.
Yes.
Know your Bible and reading on, the, you know, the first page, the details, you know, and the quotable things. There's so much, and there's so much in the,
there's so much in the Bible.
It is so much even in the book of the Song of Solomon.
Yes.
Oh, my
goodness.
Yes. You young ladies that's believing God for a husband, that is waiting for that husband. Hallelujah. That, I would say read it when you get engaged. I don't know if you read it now.
Make you blush. Praise the Lord.
I remember a time when Earl and I, when we were dating, I mean, he was, and we were reading the Song of Solomon. Oh, we got to start reading this. I'm serious. The Word of God, the Word, it's all in the Word of God.
Yes, it is.
It
certainly
is. It's all in the Word. And my mom used to say, y'all want to read these true love novels? It's all in the Word of God. Read the Word. It will captivate you. And also, please use your Amplified. A lot of times when there's not clarity in a scripture, you're amplified. Earl has given y'all a lot of tools.
Yes.
A lot of
power.
When you pull out that King James, put that amplified right beside it. And the amplified will break it down and give you so many synonyms for words to let you know this is just what this means. You may only be able to take one verse at a time. It's okay. You don't have to read no whole chapter. Take one verse at a time. And then when it comes to the Amplified, because the Amplified is so exhaustive, it's so one. And the King James, it may be like three lines to a verse. When you get to Amplified, it may be six lines because it's giving you so many words to explain. The words in the King James, but it wants you to understand what you're reading. It wants to explain it.
Yes.
It wants to break it down.
So is it like the thesaurus?
Yes.
A dictionary,
yes.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh.
Yes, so a lot of those words and the words that you would find in the thesaurus are in the, they're
strong.
In parentheses. They're in brackets. They're in brackets. When you're reading the Amplified, they're the words that's in the brackets.
Can I add something real quick?
Yes.
When you see things in brackets, that means that this was added. This was not the original text. This was added.
Right, exactly.
And also, the Scofield Study Bible, that's the King James Version that you've been given, it is an awesome book to use when you're ready to do your studying. It may almost eliminate you having to go through the Strong's because of all of the tools that are in the Scofield Bible. That is a magnificent work that Scofield did and all of his companions, associates did on that Bible. And I put it this way, that Bible in some stores costs about $82. And so that can kind of reflect the value of that as a tool, a study tool. Check it out.
Amen. Y'all. Amen. Praise the
Lord. So when it comes to the tools that y'all have at hand, y'all don't let them just lay around and just, you know, don't do anything. Don't just pick them up on your days that you have class. Sometimes, you know, sacrifice. If you're an avid television watcher or whatever, you know, sometimes just sit down with the King James, and then use the Scofield, because it's a reference Bible. And those the notes in the Scofield goes all the way back to 1917. So there are some good a lot of notes. And if there's something that you still need clarity in, call Dr. Bird.
I heard that. but First Lady, the Bible.
I ain't saying call me. Call Dr. Bird.
First Lady, the Bible tells us to study.
But before you open the Bible anyway, I'm serious. Before you open the Bible anyway, you pray and ask God to give you clarity. Seriously. Ask God to give you clarity. Even ask him, Lord, lead and guide me as to what to read today.
Amen.
And
amen.
Ask God then to minister to your heart. And you never know who he is going to lead you to minister to. So you need to ask him, Lord, what do you need? What do you want to show me in your word? Because just what he wants to show you in the word just may be what you need to minister to somebody that you come across.
Yeah. And the word says study to show yourself approved. So we've been given the tools to help us study and dig deeper into the word so we'll have a better understanding.
Yeah. God is good.
We are the students of one.
Everybody got an A. Hallelujah. Everybody that was present in class. And
praise the Lord.
We always enjoy the Lord. Around his
word. Amen.
Well, have a good night.
Good night.
Can I just say one more thing? Thank you.
Thank
y'all
you.
Were given those tools so y'all can grow spiritually. That's why y'all
got
them. Amen.
Exactly. Praise
all right. God,
thank
God bless you. Pastor Peter, you can go ahead. Thank you so much for allowing me to
Hallelujah, Father
you.
God, we thank you for the word. We thank you, Lord God. Lord, just continue to bless the evening. Let everybody have sweet sleep tonight in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, for the word of God and how it just blesses us and how we just enjoy learning more and more about you. Lord God, we ask you to continue to allow your word just to be sown in good ground. Good ground. Allow us to be able to absorb it and remember it, Lord God, so we can regurgitate it, Lord God, at this time. Hallelujah. We just thank you, God, for all the tools that
you
have blessed us with to learn more and more and more about you.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Lord God, we ask you to allow us to have sweet sleep tonight and bless the rest of our evening
in the name of Jesus.
We thank you, Lord. Bless each and every family that's represented on the phone in the name of Jesus. And bless the instructors in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Do we have a test next week, right, Dr. Bird?
Thank you,
Todd. Say that again.
We have a test next week, don't we, Dr. Bird?
Oh, yes, we have the test quiz and everything. For the next, we only have 3 weeks to go, so every week we're going to have some kind of test, some kind of review. So just study your notes and continue to read on. Don't just stop where we stop. You go
that's
on.
Right.
In fact, look at the back of the chapter 4 and see some questions there. I suggest you kind of study those questions and work on the answers, because you may be asked one or more of those questions.
And which book is that in, Pastor?
Spiritual Maturity.
Yes,
and
sir.
And then some questions in Know Your Bible as well.
That's right.
And then you might want, thank you. There are several people you need to make sure that you do a little kind of research on for A History of the English Bible. That's John Wycliffe. Hallelujah, glory to God. Thomas, what is his name? I need to
the
do some
day.
Study. I think I'm having a brain fog right now.
A senior moment. You have a senior moment.
I would suggest you go a little bit further. Don't stay where I am in the book. Continue to go forward in the book. And the characters are very important for you to know. The main characters that dealt with Hans, Jan Hans and Hoff and John Wycliffe and a bunch of folk that were burnt at the stake because they were trying to get the Bible in English. But anyway, y'all check it out. That's coming up next week, y'all.
Yes, sir.
God bless you all. Love you. God loves you. Nothing you can do about it.
In a few hours.
Have a good night.
Thank you.
See you in the morning.
Elder QB.
God bless.
Elder QB, thank you so much, Elder QB. I really appreciate you.
And first
lady, I don't know what I would do without you guys. I really don't.
Girl,
I'm really
glad you're family, honey. We are family. We celebrate too. Amen. God bless.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
That's very welcome.
Talk to everybody in the morning.
A few hours.
A few hours, yep.
Hallelujah. God bless you all.